Prudence, piety, and charity. And so Christian found a place of rest. And at that place of rest, he talked with those who were like believers, resting there with him. And they also were looking to have comfort and hope in the Lord. And prudence and piety and charity were able to console him and help him in his journey. So I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 just for a moment for some scripture reading here, because this passage is very, very good in relationship to those areas of faith, hope, and love. And it says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And so Pilgrim met with prudence, piety, and charity. And if we know anything about faith, hope, and love, we know that it takes its comfort in God and in the Word of God. And all of those things of Christian life and conduct that Pilgrim sought to have, he could have if he would just listen to those who counseled him at the palace where he could find comfort and hope in Christ. And so we find that Christian spent some time there. In fact, he spent quite a long time there. He learned about those things that prudence had to say and piety had to say, how he might live a holy life, and those things which charity had to say, how that he might love God and seek to love others. And all along the way, Pilgrim began to grow more strongly in his faith. Secondly, now he goes on his way through the valley of the shadow of death, or it is called also the valley of humiliation. You know, it seems that in the Christian life, we do have highs and lows in our Christian life. First, we're on Mount Calvary, and our sins are forgiven, and we rejoice, and we are glad in the Lord, and we are praising God. And then, after a while, we find ourselves going through a period of humiliation, that is, going through darker times, going through the valleys, going to the place where sometimes we find there is temptation and that there are those shadows which dwell there and which speak to us of things that we do not want to hear or we do not want to see because they are temptings of the evil one. And so we find that in this place, Pilgrim found himself going. But now in this valley of humiliation, poor Christian was put to it, for he had gone but a little way before he espied a foul fiend coming over the field to meet him. His name is Apollyon. Now, in the scripture, we know Apollyon is kind of a demon figure, and we even liken him to Satan. Then did Christian begin to be afraid and to cast in his mind whether to go back or to stand his ground. But he considered again that he had no armor for his back, therefore thought that he to turn and to go back might give him a bad advantage. And we find that Satan could throw his darts at him. For one of the things that C. Pilgrim learned as he was in that place of rest and comfort with prudence, piety, and charity was that there were certain armor for the Christian, the armor of faith, the breastplate of faith. And there is the sure sword of the Spirit. There is the helmet of salvation. And there is the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All these things were meant for the soldier of the Lord to go forward and not to go back. And so he was, Christian knew that he had to face his fears. He had to face those things that were ahead of him. So Christian continues on his way into the valley of humiliation, if you will, or the valley of the shadow of death. And we are reminded that in Psalm 23, it speaks of those kinds of things. As you turn there, I'll read that passage. And we'll see there that in Psalm 23, the Lord, though he is the shepherd of those who go through the valley of humiliation, we find that still one must travel that way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so here's Pilgrim, and he has been to the hill called Calvary, and he has learned that his burden was taken from his back, and he has been given the scroll which gives him the promises of eternal life. And now he realizes that as he goes through this darker season of his life, the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of humiliation, that he must trust in God if he is to get through, because everyone has to go through it. That along the pilgrim way, along the straight and narrow, everyone must travel in this way. So I continue reading for a moment here in Pilgrim's Progress. So we went on, and Apollyon met him. Now that monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish, and they are his pride. He had wings like a dragon and feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as that the mouth of a lion. When he was come up to Christian, he beheld him with a disdainful countenance and thus began to question him. And as Satan often does bring many questions to our mind, temptings, if you will, or doubts into our mind, we find that Christian was beginning to feel some of these things. And Apollyon addresses Christian. He says, "Where came you and where are you going?" Christian, "I am come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and I am going to the city of Zion." Apollyon, "By this time I perceive that thou art one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince and god of it. How is it then that thou hast run away from thy king, where it is not that I hope that thou mayest do more service for me? I would strike thee now at one blow to the ground." And of course, as Satan wants to gather back all those that he believes are his, he was hoping to convince Christian to go back to the city of destruction. But we find that the wages that Apollyon pays are not very good wages. Christian is overtaken by Apollyon. And what does it say in Romans 6:23? That the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death. These are the wages that Apollyon pays. And you see, Christian didn't want to go back and earn any more of those wages. Because they were that which did burden his back and caused the great burden upon him. And the only way he could be rid of that burden was to go to the hill of Mount Calvary and there find his relief. So Christian was indeed burdened by what he was hearing. And so Christian responds saying this, I was indeed born in your dominion, but your service was hard and your wages such as a man could not live on. For the wages of sin is death. Therefore, when I come to years, I did as others considerate persons do. I looked out if perhaps I might mend my ways. Apollyon replies, there is no prince that will thus lightly lose his subjects, neither will I as yet lose thee. But since thou complainest of thy service and wages, be content to go back, and what our country will afford to do, I do promise to give thee. And so Christian was began to recognize that Apollyon wanted him to go back. He wanted to claim him as his own once again. But Christian was not willing to do that. Christian was not willing to go back. Rather, he wanted to continue on the straight and narrow way which leads unto life eternal. I'll continue reading in Psalm 23. He says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Christian realized that he was in the presence of his enemies too. Christian realized that the anointing of God was that anointing which kept him secure and safe. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so Christian was beginning to realize that this way that he was traveling, the way that would take him into the valley of humiliation, would mean that he would be tested. And we find that there are many testings that come our way. There are many things which do trouble us along the way in our Christian life. And we find that we have to face those things, and we have to realize that God can get us through them. Apollyon goes on and speaks to Christian, consider again when thou art in cool blood, what thou art like to meet with in the way that thou goest. Thou knowest that for the most part his servant will come to an ill end because they are transgressors against me and my ways. How many of them have put to the shameful deaths, and besides this contentest yourself to service better than mine, whereas he never yet came from the place where he was. And so we find that Apollyon tries to paint a very dark picture, saying that all of his servants are those who meet with a certain death if they continue on in the way that Christian is going. But Christian was not willing to listen to Apollyon. And pretty soon we find that it was necessary that Christian would face the circumstance, because if he did not face Apollyon, if he did not try to defeat him, we find that he would be in serious trouble. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8. In verse 37. Well, I'll back up to verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we find that the scripture tells Pilgrim that his ability to conquer the situation is through Christ, that he can face these uncertainties, that he can face these fears, that he can face this valley of humiliation and what he would be going through, and even Apollyon himself, and know that he is able to get through this if he would but trust in the Lord. Apollyon then broke out in a grievous rage, saying, "I am an enemy to this prince. I hate this person, his laws, and people. I am come out on purpose to withstand thee." Then Apollyon straddled quite over the whole breadth of the way in front of Christian and said, "I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare thyself to die, for I swear that I will kill thee, and that thou shalt go no further. Here will I spill thy soul." And with that, he threw a flaming dart at his breast. But Christian had a shield in his hand with which he caught it, and so prevented the danger of that. Then Christian drew, for he saw in his heart to bestir himself, and Apollyon is fast made at him, throwing darts as thick as hail, by which, notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollyon wounded him in his head, his hand, and foot. This made Christian to give back just a little. Apollyon therefore followed his work amain, and Christian again took courage and resisted manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for about a half a day, till Christian was almost quite well spent. For you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, did grow weaker and weaker. Then Apollyon, espying his opportunity, began to gather up to close to Christian, wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall, and with that Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollyon, "I am sure of thee now," and with that he almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand for his sword and caught it, saying, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise." And with that gave him a deadly thrust and made him give back as one that had received a mortal wound. And so we are reminded that the sword of the Spirit, of the Word of God, is that which is able to give a deadly wound unto Apollyon. And so Apollyon spread forth his dragon wings and sped him away, that Christian saw him no more. We'll close with a verse out of James. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And so Christian was lifted up. That is, he was encouraged much. In this combat, no man can imagine, unless he had seen and heard, as I did, what yelling and hideous roaring Apollyon made all the time of the fight. He spake like a dragon, and on the other side, with what sighs and groans burst forth from Christian's heart. Christian says, "I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look, till he perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. Then indeed he did smile and look upward, but it was the dreadfulest sight that I ever saw. So when the battle was over, Christian said, 'I will here give thanks to him that hath delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, to him that did help me against Apollyon.' And so Christian did defeat Apollyon. But by the edge of the sword, by the word of God, by the Spirit of God which was in him. And that too is our hope, is that we can defeat the enemy when we go through the valley of humiliation, when we go through the times of the valley of the shadow of death, when we find that that dreadful fiend, even the evil one, the principalities and powers which seek to undo us, come against us, we have one who is greater. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that we too can be victorious through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so next time we'll look a little bit further into the valley of the shadow of death and some of the other things that Christian encounters along the way. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you that our hope is in Christ. We do thank you, Father, that all these things which we sometimes experience, we experience knowing that there is one greater and mightier who is able to overtake the evil one, and that we can be much encouraged and blessed of God. And we thank you, Father, for that. And so we look to you with great faith and hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, for our victory is through Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.